Good afternoon, good night, good day, wherever you are. This is Unleashed Unapologetically with your coach, Nadege. And this evening with me, I have the beautiful Devin Grandrod. She is a strong advocate for empowerment and whole person healing. So we're going to be talking about what she does, but mostly how she got from where she was to now doing what she's doing now and she's loving to do. And whenever we come here, we talk about, you know, building confidence, because of course, you know, I'm the confidence coach. I am here to help you reset, relocate, and repurpose your mindset, as well as refocusing your mindset so you could always be able to lead in anything that you're doing without burnout. But it's not all that, it's everything else that you get to learn in the pillars that we talk all the time. We talk about the pillars of confidence, and we talk about all areas that we want to grow in. And that's where we have Devin. She's going to come in and talk to us about the aspect of what we are looking for when we are working on our development, especially when it comes to the mental part, the spiritual part, the healing part. So she is good at that. And I'm pretty sure that all of you at the end will result into coming in with a little note on your own where you could say, oh my God, it was really, really insightful what we learned from Devin. So Devin has gone through her own journey. She had to go through it through self-development into learning to overcome trauma. And you know, many of us have gone through it as well. So because of her overcoming those obstacles and the challenges that she did face, she was able to see better and understand better the importance of mind, body, and spirit and how they all connect. So everything she does it because she knows that it's going to help you along the way. So how not letting her introduce herself, and actually, you know, what you can start implementing, because outside of it all, she's a Reiki master teacher. So she is going to tell you a lot of things this evening that you can implement in your everyday routine and, of course, habit building. So Devin, welcome to the platform. How are you?
Hi, Nadege. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is, of course, a pleasure. And we are starting, of course, by asking you, what got you to start where you are and to becoming who you are now?
Well, just like you said, my journey of trauma healing, and it was just kind of one thing led to another. And next mm-hmm. thing I know, I am a spiritual development teacher and Reiki master teacher. And I was like, okay, this is how life was supposed to be this whole time. And it's just, yeah, all of our experience lead us to where we're meant to be, is my personal belief. And mm-hmm. I'm no different.
Is that something that you sensed from the time you were younger, like in your teenage years or when you were in your 20s, and as you were facing your trauma, you were always seeing that there was always the same thing that comes back each time you faced your traumas or your challenges a certain way, or, you know, with the aspect of acceptance?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had a spiritual awareness. I mean, every single one of us is born with it. And around the age of 7, there's some sort of development that goes on in our brain that disconnects us from that innate connection to mm-hmm. the spirit world. So every single one of us goes through this, which is why a lot of kids have imaginary friends. And, you know, I have a friend who, she would talk about her grandma or grandpa or somebody that had passed away before she died, and she'd be like, oh, grandma and grandma said this, and people are like, no, you've never met that person. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people have similar stories to that. And so mm-hmm. yeah, I was definitely one of those kids too. I grew up in a really old house that my family had lived in for about 100 years, and so mm-hmm. there was a lot of spirit activity in there, and it was accepted in my family. You know, doors would just open and we'd be like, oh, grandma, and, you know, things like that. So I'm so grateful that I grew up in a home where it was normal for me to be feeling these things. But I also grew up in a very standard American home, so it wasn't like spiritual and woo-woo, and I didn't know what Reiki was until I was almost 30, you know, things like that. And yeah, I've always had the spiritual connection. And I kind of separated myself from it, mostly in my teen years, like we do, because everybody wants to just be normal and fit in and things like that. But I've always felt this kind of bigger calling to things, and, you know, knowing that there was more to life, and definitely in touch with my clairabilities, which are our psychic senses, and it's how the spirit world communicates with us through our intuition, psychic, and mediumship ways. So I've always been kind of connected to that, but didn't know it had a name. And it's, you know, growing up in a typical American household, I would just have these experiences and people would be like, "Eh, no, that's not normal." I'm like, "Really?" Because they happen all the time to me. And just, yeah, it wasn't until about my mid to late 20s when I really started to embrace that and be ready to just kind of live that life and let my freak flag fly in the spiritual department.
I love that. I love what you shared. And thank you for sharing, and thank you for being vulnerable to tell us, you know, where it all started and your stories. Because, you know, we, of course, I think when we are vulnerable, it allows us to connect, you know, better. It allows us to actually shore up authenticity, right? And hearing you talking about where it all started and how you started to realize that there are certain things that were happening, and until you were in your late 20s to accept that. And I love that, you know, the acceptance, because oftentimes when we know there's something happening in ourselves, we, like you said earlier, we tend to run away from it because we don't really want to discover what it is, right? So you went on with it, and being exposed to your old house where you used to live, to being in another environment where, of course, you know, things like that do happen, or you just have to face it, right? So when you started working in the field itself, what changed in you, and how did you start helping other people realize that they needed to have clarity? And those clarity comes from, you know, how you see them, how you visualize them, and how you sense their inner spirit.
Yeah, so when I started working in the field versus when I wanted to start working in the field are two different things. So I am a survivor of sexual assault, and I went to yoga to start healing from it. And yoga was kind of my gateway into spirituality. It was safe, it was accepted. We could go there, and it was just something normal to do. It was kind of on the fringes of being normal at that time. Now a lot of people go to it for trauma healing, but I remember stepping onto my mat, and my body, the instructor, you know, would guide us through the class, and just the things that I could do with my body. I always thought myself as physically weak. I never had a lot of bulk muscles, and being guided through the class, I was like, oh my God, I can hold myself up. This is how I'm moving myself. And I just remember I felt so strong. And that, I mean, I needed to feel strong in that time because it was a very, very difficult time in my life. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that by the time I got off my mat at the end of that class, I was like, I'm going to be a yoga instructor, and I'm going to help people heal from their trauma. So that was when I started that mission. And it wasn't until about 6 or 8 years later that I really stepped into that on my own. Throughout college and my first job after college, I was helping people in that way, but not, there was always government funding involved, so I couldn't be my full self. And then when I started my business, I could really do, I could help people in the way that my heart was asking me to. And that was what was important to me. So if you're going through this same journey, because I know a lot of people, when they start off healing from their trauma, they think, oh my God, I want to do this and I want to help people, and their hearts are in the exact right place. But I just want to reiterate the importance of healing yourself first and then helping other people, because if you are helping people while you're in the throes of your trauma, you can get re-triggered, and you need to feel strong and to be able to stand on your own. And, you know, people might share their stories with you, and you have to be strong enough to hear stories that are parallel to yours without being triggered and sent back into the throes of your healing. And that doesn't mean that I don't still have triggers and that I still don't have bad days. It just means I have a lot of tools in my coping skill toolbox that I can use in that moment and separate mm-hmm. myself from my journey from somebody else's. So it's mm-hmm. my two cents on trauma healing.
Thank you for sharing. Actually, I really like that. And I like that, you know, you reiterate on the fact that we have to heal on ourselves first before mm-hmm. we can go ahead and heal it, you know, help other people heal. Because it's not like we are putting our hands and healing people. We are helping them into taking steps that are necessary and understand how to use those tools that you have used in order for them to better heal. But to do that, like you said, it has to first, you know, we have to establish it with ourselves by letting ourselves be healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be the process of getting better each day, but when you fully do it, it allows you to, you know, to be okay and have space for when other people comes in. And I like that you use the word, you know, so not to let yourself be, you know, triggered by what others are sharing, because oftentimes when we are not fully complete, right? Or I don't know if the word complete is the word that I should use, but fully healed and fully accepting ourselves the way we are, because we fight it all the time, right? We fight acceptance. We fight that, you know we are trying our best to be better, but yet again, we fight it because we still want to hold on to the past. And a lot of people are going through that. Now, if we are holding on to the past, how are we going to allow, when somebody is coming to us to talk to us, how are we going to allow ourselves to embrace it and help them, right? So I really like what you shared, because at the end, it may become difficult for you to go back to your norm, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And
good afternoon, good night, good day, wherever you are. This is Unleashed Unapologetically with your coach, Nadege. And this evening with me, I have the beautiful Devin Grindrod. She is a strong advocate for empowerment and whole person healing. So we're going to be talking about what she does, but mostly how she got from where she was to now doing what she's doing now and she's loving to do. And whenever we come here, we talk about, you know, building confidence, because of course, you know, I'm the confidence coach. I am here to help you reset, relocate, and repurpose your mindset, as well as refocusing your mindset, so you could always be able to lead in anything that you're doing without burnout. But it's not all that, it's everything else that you get to learn in the pillars that we talk all the time. We talk about the pillars of confidence, and we talk about all areas that we want to grow in. And that's where we have Devin. She's going to come in and talk to us about the aspect of what we are looking for when we are working on our development, especially when it comes to the mental part, the spiritual part, the healing part. So she is good at that. And I'm pretty sure that all of you at the end will result into coming in with a little note on your own where you could say, oh my God, it was really, really insightful what we learned from Devin. So Devin has gone through her own journey. She had to go through it through self-development into learning to overcome trauma. And you know, many of us have gone through it as well. So because of her overcoming those obstacles and the challenges that she did face, she was able to see better and understand better the importance of mind, body, and spirit and how they all connect. So everything she does it because she knows that it's going to help you along the way. So how, not letting know, letting her introduce herself, and actually, you know, what you can start implementing, because outside of it all, she's a Reiki master teacher. So she is going to tell you a lot of things this evening that you can implement in your everyday routine and, of course, habit building. So Devin, welcome to the platform. How are you?
Hi, Nadej. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is, of course, a pleasure. And we are starting, of course, by asking you, what got you to start where you are and to becoming who you are now?
Well, just like you said, my journey of trauma healing, and it was just kind of one thing led to another. And next thing I know, I am a spiritual development teacher and Reiki master teacher. And I was like, okay, this is how life was supposed to be this whole time. And it's just, yeah, all of our experience lead us to where we're meant to be, is my personal belief. And I'm no different.
Is that something that you sensed from the time you were younger, like in your teenage years or when you were in your 20s, and as you were facing your trauma, you were always seeing that there was always the same thing that comes back each time you faced your traumas or your challenges a certain way, or, you know, with the aspect of acceptance?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had a spiritual awareness. I mean, every single one of us is born with it. And around the age of 7, there's some sort of development that goes on in our brain that disconnects us from that innate connection to the spirit world. So every single one of us goes through this, which is why a lot of kids have imaginary friends. And, you know, they might, I have a friend who, she would talk about her grandma or grandpa or somebody that had passed away before she died, and she'd be like, oh, grandma and grandma said this, and people are like, no, you've never met that person. And so a lot of people have similar stories to that. And so yeah, I was definitely one of those kids too. I grew up in a really old house that my family had lived in for about 100 years, and so there was a lot of spirit activity in there, and it was accepted in my family. You know, doors would just open and we'd be like, oh, grandma, and, you know, things like that. So I'm so grateful that I grew up in a home where it was normal for me to be feeling these things. But I also grew up in a very standard American home, so it wasn't like spiritual and woo-woo, and I didn't know what Reiki was until I was almost 30, you know, things like that. And yeah, it just, I've always had the spiritual connection. And I kind of separated myself from it, mostly in my teen years, like we do, because everybody wants to just be normal and fit in and things like that. But I've always felt this kind of bigger calling to things, and, you know, knowing that there was more to life, and definitely in touch with my clairabilities, which are our psychic senses, and it's how the spirit world communicates with us through our intuition, psychic, and mediumship ways. So I've always been kind of connected to that, but didn't know it had a name. And it's, you know, growing up in a typical American household, I would just have these experiences and people would be like, I know that's not normal. I'm like, really? Because they happen all the time to me. And just, yeah, it wasn't until about my mid to late 20s when I really started to embrace that and be ready to just kind of live that life and let my freak flag fly in the spiritual department.
I love that. I love what you shared. And thank you for sharing, and thank you for being vulnerable to tell us, you know, where it all started and your stories, because, you know, I think when we are vulnerable, it allows us to connect, you know, better. It allows us to actually sure of authenticity, right? And hearing you talking about where it all started and how you started to realize that there are certain things that were happening, and until you were in your late 20s to accept that. And I love that, you know, the acceptance, because oftentimes when we know there's something happening in ourselves, we, like you said earlier, we tend to run away from it because we don't really want to discover what it is, right? So you went on with it, and being exposed to your old house where you used to live to being in another environment where, of course, you know, things like that do happen, or you just have to face it, right? So when you started working in the field itself, what changed? What changed in you? And how did you start helping other people realize that they needed to have clarity? And those clarity comes from, you know, how you see them, how you visualize them, and how you sense their inner spirit.
Yeah, so when I started working in the field versus when I wanted to start working in the field are two different things. So I am a survivor of sexual assault, and I went to yoga to start healing from it. And yoga was kind of my gateway into spirituality. It was safe, it was accepted. We could go there, and it was just something normal to do. It was kind of on the fringes of being normal at that time. Now a lot of people go to it for trauma healing, but I remember stepping onto my mat and my body, the instructor, you know, would guide us through the class, and just the things that I could do with my body. I always thought myself as physically weak. I never had a lot of bulk muscles, and being guided through the class, I was like, oh my God, I can hold myself up. This is how I'm moving myself. And I just remember I felt so strong. And that, I mean, I needed to feel strong in that time because it was a very, very difficult time in my life. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that by the time I got off my mat at the end of that class, I was like, I'm going to be a yoga instructor and I'm going to help people heal from their trauma. Mm-hmm. So that was when I started that mission. And it wasn't until about 6 or 8 years later that I really stepped into that on my own. Throughout college and my first job after college, I was helping people in that way, but not, there was always government funding involved, so I couldn't be my full self. And then when I started my business, I could really do, I could help people in the way that that my heart was asking me to. And that was what was important to me. So if you're going through this same journey, because I know a lot of people, when they start off healing from their trauma, they think, oh my God, I want to do this and I want to help people, and their hearts are in the exact right place. But I just want to reiterate the importance of healing yourself first and then helping other people, because if you are helping people while you're in the throes of your trauma, you can get re-triggered, and you need to feel strong and to be able to stand on your own. And, you know, people might share their stories with you, and you have to be strong enough to hear stories that are parallel to yours without being triggered and sent back into the throes of your healing. And that doesn't mean that I don't still have triggers and that I still don't have bad days. It just means I have a lot of tools in my coping skill toolbox that I can use in that moment and separate mm-hmm. myself from my journey from somebody else's. So it's mm-hmm. my two cents on trauma healing.
Thank you for sharing. Actually, I really like that. And I like that, you know, you reiterate on the fact that we have to heal on ourselves first before mm-hmm. we can go ahead and heal it, you know, help other people heal. Because it's not like we are putting our hands and healing people. We are helping them into taking steps that are necessary and understand how to use those tools that you have used in order for them to better heal. But to do that, like you said, it has to first, you know, we have to establish it with ourselves by letting ourselves be healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be the process of getting better each day, but when you fully do it, it allows you to, you know, to be okay and have space for when other people comes in. And I like that you use the word, you know, so not to let yourself be, you know, triggered by what others are sharing, because oftentimes when we are not fully complete, right? Or I don't know if the word complete is the word that I should use, but fully healed and fully accepting ourselves the way we are, because we fight it all the time, right? We fight acceptance. We fight that, you know, we know we are trying our best to be better, but yet again, we fight it because we still want to hold on to the past. And a lot of people are going through that. Now, if we are holding on to the past, how are we going to allow, when somebody is coming to us to talk to us, how are we going to allow ourselves to embrace it and help them, right? So I really like what you shared, because at the end, it may become difficult for you to go back to your norm, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And